and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
So, birthdays, celebrations. I love celebrations. I love birth. I love the fact that we serve a God who not just wants us to celebrate, but actually ordered the original people of God to celebrate so many times every year. And every time I read through, I know some of you probably don't like the book of Leviticus, but every time I read through the book of Leviticus, I love chapter 23. So if you have your Bibles or whatever you're using, if you could turn to Leviticus chapter 23, we're going to look at the 9 celebrations that God instructs his people to have every year. Not just 1 or 2, but 9 celebrations that God instructs his people. 2 of which last a whole week. A whole week. Wouldn't that be awesome? If you were instructed by somebody that you had to have a whole week's party and then another whole week's party. And you see, because God loves his people celebrating. It's part of who we are as human beings, and it's something that God wants to make sure that we never forget. But I just quickly want to whiz through the celebrations as a kind of a backdrop about what I want to say. So we're in Leviticus 23, verse 4. And the series of celebrations begins with the Passover and then the celebration of the unleavened bread, which lasts for a week. And this is what Moses says. These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. And on the 15th day of the month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast. And on the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present an offering made to the Lord of fire. And on the 7th day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. And it was to remind them of their escape from Egypt, that God sets people free. And God is still in the business of setting people free. Then in verse 9, Moses is going to say, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am giving you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so that it will be acceptable on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath, so on the Sunday after the Saturday, after the first harvest. They were to bring the first of the harvest into the house of God and celebrate. And it was called the celebration of the first fruits. And they celebrated that to thank God for all his provision. And then 50 days later, they were to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, which lasted a day. I know that's a bit of a weird thing, but it's called the Feast of Weeks, but it just lasted one day. So verse 15, if you're reading the Bible, from the day after the Sabbath, that's the Sabbath of the first fruits, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks, count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah, which is quite a lot of flour for those of you know who ephahs are fine flour, and bake it with yeast as a wave offering of first fruits for the Lord. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old without defect, and 1 young bull. And they have the feast of the weeks to celebrate the end of the harvest. And it's where we get our Pentecost from. 50 days after Easter is Pentecost, which used to be, in the Jewish calendar, the Feast of Weeks. Does that make sense? And then, verse 23, they had the Feast of the Trumpets. Because the Israelites had special trumpets, which I haven't got time to explain, but they did have special trumpets, which you can read about in the Bible. The Lord said to Moses, say to Israel, on the first day of the 7th month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord. So they had the Feast of Trumpets, which became the New Year celebration. So the Jews celebrate this now at New Year. Fascinating. Who's excited about history? Excellent. Then, verse 26, the Lord said to Moses, on the 10th day of the 7th month is a day of atonement. Hold a sacred assembly
and deny yourself and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do no work on that day because it's the day of atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord. And the day of atonement was a day of forgiveness. So they had to remember every year that God forgave them and that they were innocent, not because they were innocent, but because of God's forgiveness and holiness. And they're called to celebrate that once a year. And then the Lord said to Moses, verse 33, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins, and it's going to last for 7 days. And basically, the Feast of Tabernacles was to remember when they were in the desert for 40 years, and God provided for them every day, manna and meat, and that they were well looked after. And they were just to remember and to celebrate God's provision for a whole week. For those of you who know your Bibles, know that the Israelites only really properly celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles twice under two different kings. So it didn't happen very often, but it was to celebrate this week. And then in verse 36, the whole series of celebrations finished with what was called the Sacred Assembly, and that was for one day long. And then later on in history, they added what's called the Day of Purim, which was to celebrate Esther's approaching the king and the Israelites being saved in Esther and Mordecai's day. Again, just read the book of Esther. The point I'm trying to make is this. God loves celebrations. God loves his people rejoicing and being happy. I and you have probably met far too many miserable Christians. Yeah? We're not supposed to be miserable Christians. Now, you might be a miserable Christian at some point in your life, and we need to give permission to each other, to when we find a miserable Christian, especially part of our church, to look at them in the eye and say, stop being miserable. God has done amazing things in your life. And that's why we have the celebrations. It's why God ordained that we should have many celebrations, because we so easily and so quickly forget everything that God has done. So I'm going to just share a few thoughts in the next few minutes. And before I do that, let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this day of remembrance, for this day of celebration, for this day of looking forward to the future of all that you are going to do in us and through us, changing our lives and the lives of people that we love, lives of people that don't even know yet, who are going to come through the door here and in Lancaster, in the Northeast and Blackpool and other locations you call us to go to and to go and reach. Father, I pray that we may not just remember this message or be changed by this message. Father, I pray that you will help us to every day to put a smile on our face and to go into the day knowing that we always have something to celebrate. Whatever is going on, we always have something to celebrate in you. And Father, I pray as always, if there's any here, any in Lancaster who don't know you, Father, I pray that this may be the day where they encounter you and discover they're loved by you and decide to begin to begin that relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So celebrations, firstly, are a time to remember, right? The time to remember. A time to remember all that God has done. That's why they had the Passover, they had the unleavened bread, so they remembered how God had rescued them, he'd set them free, how he provided the harvest, and how they were forgiven. He set them up. We too need to remember. And it's like, do you know, parents, whenever you have a birthday with your children, what's the first thing always comes to mind? Well, this is just me. The first thing I always think about when it's my children's birthday, and one of them's now 18, and he's in Lancaster, presumably leading worship this morning. Well done, Jonathan. We have Thomas, who's 17, and he's doing kids, and Abigail, who's 12, and she's doing kids as well. I always remember their births. Do you do that, parents? It's their birthday. I remember when you were born. I remember what happened. I'm sure the mums have more clear memories than the blokes. But, you know, we remember these things. And Dave's right. I remember when we started thinking about this. And it was a bit forced upon us through circumstances, through wisdom, I think, from those over us. And some of the hopes and dreams. And, you know, when Jenny shared and... It's true. The school, we literally had two rows, didn't we? And
And so, some days we had more people on the stage than we had in the congregation. I think we all ask this question in our heads, though we never mention it. Will this thing ever go forward? I'm pretty sure we all ask that question. And then Jenny's right. When you look out on this congregation, I know there's another congregation on the other side of the video stream, and there'll be others watching probably at what God has done. But he's just started. And this is what this day is for, is to remember what has happened so that you can think, well, if God has done that this so far in my life or in our life, what could he do? This same God, he's not stopped loving us. He's not stopped wanting to do amazing things in life. He's not stopped wanting to take his kingdom forward. What, you know, I'm dreaming and believing that one day you'll be here. Maybe in 12 years' time, and we won't be in here in the auditorium, the bigger you guys in Lancaster, you won't be there. You'll be in a much bigger venue, and there'll be much more venues and more services. And you'll sit there and you'll say, I remember 12 years ago. And there'll be a brand new person going, ah, oh, I wish I was there on that day. That day when you just change your stage around. It sounds really fun, and you just built a coffee shop, and you somehow raised 200,000, because that's the way it works. And we remember so we can thank God and get excited, but so that we can think, well, God has done that, and he will go and do that again in our lives. And that's why we remember. I remember walking into this building when we were a church, a congregation size, maybe 60 or 70, on a good Sunday, maybe 75 or 80, and looking at this space and going, wouldn't this be amazing for offices in a church? And then walking to the landlord, talking to the landlord and saying, well, how much do you want? He said, well, we'd like £85,000 a year. And going like, that's almost our entire budget for everything. There's no chance. And then going, praying and saying, well, could we have it for free? Well, if you don't ask, you don't get, right? And then for him, look at me and say, well, will it help you? Yeah, yeah. Sure, yeah, definitely. And for him to go and say, okay, fine, can be for free. And you see, to remember that in that place we go, without God turning, this is never going to happen. But God can do miracles. God can change landlord's mind. And Mr. Buckley's been a fantastic landlord over the last, I don't know, 7, 8 years, I think now. And then you get the building, right? And then you look in the space, and we didn't have any chairs. We didn't have any kids' stuff. We didn't have any. We wanted to do a little cafe area there. Remember that, guys? It almost seems like a distant memory, doesn't it? We used to have, for those who've come in the last year, you probably don't remember the fact that, because you've never seen it, we used to have our coffee time behind the curtain there. We don't have anything. And from deciding we were going to start a service towards the end of August that year, people were literally ringing us up. Somebody rang up and said, we have 80 chairs, black chairs. They're even the right color. Would you like them? Oh, yeah. And then a local college rank says, oh, we're refurbishing our coffee shop. Would you like all our coffee, furniture, chairs, tables? And yeah, primary school. We have some spare kids' stuff. Do you want some kids' stuff? Do you know how you read in books about the way that God comes through when you need him just at the right moment? Literally, people would ring up who we barely knew and said, we have this going spare. Would you like it? And you felt like saying, like, well, how do you know? They didn't know. But something, and it's to remember that God provides. He provides when you're doing what he and it's a time to remember, never mind the people and the prayers answered. So what has God done for you in the last 12 years? Or the rest of your life? What has he done? What has he shown you? When has he come through in those moments? You need an anniversary to remember, because we so quickly forget. We so quickly forget the goodness of God in our lives. Do you know when you first met or encountered God, for most of us, it's like you go, it's a wow moment in our lives. You go, wow, God loves me. God came. God died for me. How quickly we forget in the midst of life. That's what anniversaries are for. That's why we have celebrations. What has God done? What have you experienced?
How do you remember? Because what God has done, he can and will do again. But it's also time to remember who we are. The Israelites came together as a nation to remember that they were the people of God, the children of the Most High. They were priests representing God to the world. And we too need to remember who we are. And on this day, let's remember that we are Christians, that we are children of God, that heaven's our home and all of heaven's resources are at our fingertips. It's a time to remember. Oh, guys, I'm going to have to whiz through the rest. The second thing, it's a time to be thankful and worship. It's a time to remember that God created all things. It says in in Psalm 111, verses 5 and 6, that he provides and that he gives things to us. And we need to remember and worship. If you love Jesus, we try and do that every Sunday, right? But in special occasions, we give God special worship and special honor to say thank you. And the reason we do it is so that our heart can be changed. We don't do it just because God deserves it, though he does deserve it, and that would be good enough reason, but so that our heart can fall back in line in the way God intended it. And it's why God calls people to celebrate. It is to worship him and honor him, and he is worthy of it, but God loves us. And as much as that's why God does it so that our hearts can be realigned to the right way of thinking, so that we have a thankfulness pouring out of our heart, so that we do have a joy in here despite circumstances, so that we can be people who celebrate what we have, not what we don't have, so that our heart can be realigned. It's why celebrations always start with worship. If you read the Bible, there's always a worship and there's always an offering. I don't know if you've noticed that. Every celebration, there's always a sacrifice, there's always an offering, and there's always worship. Because when we do that, we then celebrate from the right point of view rather than the wrong point of view. I have some more things to say that, but I won't. The third thing is this. It's a time to get together. It's just a time to hang out together, to remember that we're not alone. Remember, it's not alone. It's why as a church we meet every week. We don't meet every week just for the fun of it or just to worship God. We do it, why? So we can be a community, so we can be a family. So you can know, if you come regularly, you can be part of this family, and you can have friends, and you can have people to stand with you. And you can have friends of your age. You can have friends younger than you. You can have friends older than you. You can have friends who are poorer, who you can help, and you can equip. You can have friends richer, which is nice, who can help and equip you. You can have people who are less stable than you, so you can help bring stability and joy and peace inside. People who are more stable than you, who can help you have peace. You can become a family that gives and takes. And that's what celebrations are for. And particularly in the Israelite nation, it was so that different clans would come together and realize they were one big nation, not 12 different tribes. It's why tonight, I want to encourage you to come back. And for you Lancaster guys, to come here. For the Birmingham crew, wherever you are, to come here. That we may celebrate as one family. And remember that together, we are doing God's work as this small part of God's kingdom called Valley Church. And that's why they did it. It's so they could remember that they were not on their own. And remember that tomorrow, when the chips fall, when something goes wrong, you're still not on your own. It's why we have connect groups, small groups. It's why we talk about them. Not why, because we want to give you a family. We want to give you an experience of God. We want to teach and train you to love God and open your heart up to him and to each other. But we want to give you a family, some people to do life with. We think that's so important for us as human beings. We need God, but we also need each other. We need a family, a body around us. And there's so many people in this world who are lost and lonely. And they need us to create family and then open our hearts and our lives. We use phrases like, there's always room for one more friend in my life. We use phrases like, there's always room for one more person around my table. We use these phrases, why? Because that's how we create family. That's how we remember that we are together going forward. The fourth thing and final thing is this. It's a time to celebrate and have fun. I love the fact that God ordained 2 full weeks of celebrations. Isn't that cool? Not just one day, but a whole week of celebrating God, of eating and drinking for sure, playing games and singing songs, dancing. We do need to work on some of you in your dancing skills. Now, I'm not a great dancer. Fortunately, my wife isn't here. Otherwise, she'd say something quite, yes, thanks, dear. I know he said something in Lancaster. Shouldn't have said that. But I like to celebrate. I love the fact that King David danced with all his might before the Lord. You know, he didn't say he danced beautifully or exquisitely or with great movement. It just said he did it with all his might. And the thing about celebrations is we're called to do it with all our might. And I don't answer, but there should be some kind of expression, physical expression to your passion about Jesus. Why? Well, one, it does you good. But secondly, I think equally as important, maybe more important, we can have that debate afterwards, it helps those around you to also know that you are passionate about God, about Jesus, and helps them to worship as well. Trust me, if I'm the only one jumping and celebrating in a congregation, it just feels really embarrassing. If you're the only one with your hand up in worship, it feels a bit embarrassing. If everybody's doing it, it's easy. It encourages, builds each other up. You might say, oh, but Pastor Ed, I'm real quiet. I'm like, yeah, I know you are. Well, you need to get over yourself a little bit. Stop thinking about it's all about you. Think about your neighbour who's really energetic and enthusiastic and they want to jump up and down and put their hands up. And you're stopping them. Literally. Encourage them. Push the boat out. Let's celebrate. Celebrate in the sense of spoil people and give them some presents. I have some presents here. I have a faithful assistant somewhere who's going to appear. Yes, they're at the back. We have some presents. Would anybody like this one? This one's nice. Anybody like this one? There you go, Rob. You can have that one. You know what that one is. This is a girly one. Anybody want this? No, I think Jean's got one already. You can have that one, Claire. There you go. Oops, that's great. Eilish, come forward. Oh, Lancaster, I think Pastor Michelle has a present and the team there have arranged some Krispy Kreme donuts for you afterwards. So that's your present from us. Enjoy those. We have some more here. What's this? Oh, that rattles. You can have that one. What's this one? This one rattles. You can have that one. If they're nice ones, you have to share them. Who wants this one? Oh, the young people want that one. You have to share. Oh. No, there's a family there. I know they want that. There you go. They've got someone. Oh, what's this one? This one's good. Oh, yes, you can have one over there. That's fine. What's this one? This one? Anybody want this one? Oh, Tommy, yes. Tommy wants that one. There you go, Tommy. Oh, ow. You're supposed to use your hand, not your head. What's this one? Oh, Simon wants that one. This is breakable. Who's relatively new? Ah, you can have that one, sir. Sorry, Si. And who would like this one? You like this one, a bit more girly. Yeah, Pam, yeah, one of those over there. That's fine. Oh, I've got one left. Oh, this one rattles. This one's a nice one. No, not for you. Not for you. We talked before, remember? We talked before. The back row there, yes. There we go, fantastic. For those of you who've got the yummy ones, remember as Christians, we share. We share. Oh, look, you're already sharing. Oh, is it good? Chocolate orange. Actually, I'm on a diet. Birthday. I can't talk now, though. That was really silly. Celebration. A remembrance of all that God has done. A time to worship. Time to be thankful, a time to try and make that part of our lives, not just a one-off experience. A time to come together, a time to remember we are never on our own, and also a time to remember that we must never leave anyone alone. I love celebrating. Tonight is going to be epic. We have some things planned. We have a slightly shorter service so we can spend some time together and truly party and have fun. And we do it so that we may remember that God has done, is doing, and will do incredible things in our lives. And as I said partway through, I'm dreaming and believing that in 12 years' time, we won't be here. We will be somewhere else. Lancaster won't be there. They'll be somewhere else. We'll have multiple locations. Maybe some in Europe. Maybe in South America. We keep going over to South America. Maybe God has something over there for us. Maybe. Who knows? But let's remember church today. And let's celebrate.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.